Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. And in this half hour, Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, will join us. And then Mark Narducci, final half hour from the Philadelphia Inquirer, as we preview tonight's Penn State-Temple game at the Jordan Center in the opening round of the NIT. Tonight's winner will get Notre Dame, which beat Hampton with relative ease last night. Meanwhile, in the NCAA tournament last night, Radford was a winner as they won by 10 over LIU Brooklyn 71-61. And UCLA and St. Bonaventure was a dramatic game last night in Dayton. Our play-by-play call of the day, Jalen Adams late for St. Bonaventure to put it away.
Under a minute to play. Adams at the hash mark left side in front of his own bench. Adams starting and stopping. Jumper over Holiday. Oh, he stuck it! What a shot by Adams! Has struggled the entire night, and St. Bonaventure goes up 60-58 in the biggest moment. Jalen Adams saving his best for last, his fifth point of the night.
Indeed, courtesy of Westwood One and the NCAA Radio Network. Jalen Adams and St. Bonaventure eventually beat UCLA 65-58. The Adams jumper really put the game away last night in the final minute when the Bonnies needed it. So Mark Schmidt, old friend, 2 o'clock flight this morning. They got out of Dayton at 2 a.m. and flew into Dallas, I believe. They're going to get Florida in the next round of the tournament coming up on Thursday. Now, tonight, the feature game is going to be Arizona State and Syracuse, a pair of 12 seeds head-to-head in Dayton as part of the first four in that one. So that is tonight's featured game in the NCAA tournament. In the NIT last night, Notre Dame won. I'll be frank with you, looked totally disinterested all night long and still won by 20 points over Hampton. I mean, just it was one of those where, like, you kept, like, it's like the body was willing, but the mind was like, okay, and they still won by 20. So Notre Dame won with relative ease last night. The winner of tonight's Penn State-Temple game will take on Notre Dame in the second round of the NIT. Oregon won its way in the bracket as well. They're awaiting the winner of the Marquette game, which is also tonight. Marquette is the number 2 seed and Oregon the number 3 seed in the bracket. So it's the number 4 seed Penn State, number 5 seed Temple tonight at 8 o'clock. We're on beginning at 7:30. And with that, we welcome in the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, Patrick Chambers. Coach, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Mr. Jones, thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right. When there's the mystery about this for every Big Ten team is because of when the tournament ended to when you play again, there is that gap. So in practice, did you get back a team that was refreshed, or did you get one that had to work out some of the rust?
A little bit of both. I think they were energized to get back to work, energized to get back on the court and get better. And we slowly, you know, kind of moved them into it, into playing live and competing, which I thought was intelligent for us because you don't want to get anybody hurt, not this late in the season. So, you know, it took us a little while. First practice, skill development, a lot of shooting, footwork, ball handling, passing. The next day we got after it. We went live, worked on odd man rushes. And then, obviously, yesterday we worked on knowing that we're playing Temple. We started to work on Temple a little bit.
They also have to work with a different court. It's still 94 by 50, but the three-point line is further out at the international distance, wider lanes and so forth. What does that do for the game that you usually play, and what does it do for spacing on the floor?
Well, I think that's why they're doing it. They want better spacing. That's why they're widening the lane, and that's why they're pushing the three-point line back. I'm in favor of definitely moving the three-point line back. I mean, I think there's so many threes taken nowadays in the NBA and in college that, you know, better spacing. So there are some open lanes or straight line drives to be had. I think the thing that's going to throw us off the most, because as you know, Shep and Tony will shoot those anyway.
Right, that's fine.
It doesn't matter where the matter where the line is.
Yeah.
But for some teams that might mess with their head a little bit. It really might. You know, Lamar likes to step into it. So yeah. A couple times yesterday I said, "Hey Lamar, that's a two," because your right toe is on the line. So everybody's got to be a little bit higher, a little bit wider, and the spacing's got to be better. I think the thing that might throw us off is the quarters.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, the four quarters, I think everybody was in kind of rhythm, including myself and my staff, that, hey, you know, 16, we're getting this guy out right before the media timeout, and 12 and 8 and 4. Well, now it's a little bit different. You know, first quarter's 5, the second quarter's 7 and 3. And then, you know, 5 and then 7 and 3 again for the third and fourth quarter. So the little things like that, you just got to tweak, adjust, maybe friendly reminders from the staff. Hey, you got a media timeout coming up. And then the 5 fouls, you know, usually in a 20-minute half, Steve, when you get to 7, it's 1-1. Well, when you get to 5 in the first quarter, you're shooting 2. And then when the second quarter starts, that's wiped away. You got to get to another 5, which I actually like as well.
Well, 5, 7, and 3, you mentioned first quarter, second quarter, but you also have the quarter break. So, I mean, that also has to figure in as to how you work that, right?
There's no doubt. It's almost like you got to go back to your high school days because you really want to finish quarters strong. I mean, that was the whole thing. You got to finish quarters strong. So it's definitely going to be interesting, and then you got that time in between. So, again, and I think, Steve, I don't know if you know this, that the media timeouts are 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, I knew that because remember I asked you about that in New York. Postseason play, media timeouts are longer. They have to sell commercials, and because of that, I mean, at times it can actually change your rotation a little bit and shorten it. If you were not in foul trouble, would that be fair?
That would be a very fair assessment. I mean, 3 minutes real time—that's a long time.
Yes,
that they're sitting there getting, you know, re-energized or rejuvenated, getting some water, towel, whatever, because I'm going to give them that first minute to themselves, and then I'll come in the last 2 minutes. So it definitely could shorten the bench for sure.
Do you now? You also have to come up with 4 end of quarter scenarios, end of quarter, end of half, end of third, end of fourth scenarios in your mind as a coach.
Yeah, you're right, but we've been dealing with end of halves and end of game situations all year long. So
yeah,
I think we're pretty prepared a little bit more.
Tony Carr, basketball coaches all district name today to go on top of some of the other honors he's already received along the way. When you've watched his development, what have you seen in the upward trajectory for him?
You know, first and foremost is his leadership. I think his leadership really grew as the season went on. Obviously, he changed his body, put on 25 pounds. I think that has really helped him. Statistically, his outside shot has been phenomenal. And he's making really good decisions. I know he has a very positive assist-to-turnover ratio. So, I mean, the way he grew from his first year to his second year, pretty amazing about the hard work that Tony put in to be first team All Big Ten, make the All Tourney team, and now get some more accolades today. I mean, look, he put the work in the summer, he put the work in the fall and in the spring prior, and when you put the work in, you know, positive results do happen.
What kind of message should it be to everybody that in certain situations this year, end a half or end a game, you didn't use a timeout. You looked at him and said, we know what we want to run, run it.
100%. You know, you have such a great player, and he happens to be your point guard, and he's 6'5". And you know he's a very good free throw shooter as well. And obviously he can find the open man like he did at Ohio State by finding Josh Reeves on the back cut. So you feel good about him saying, hey, you got the ball. The other thing is you want to call a timeout. Well, the other team has time to maybe make some personnel changes, maybe set up a trap or a blitz. And I just feel so confident when Tony has the ball that I said, you know what? He's learned from the past. He's learned from different things. He's going to make a great decision. And for the most part, down the stretch, he really did.
This will be another one for Shep Garner and Julian Moore back in the Jordan Center without the hoopla. What can the home crowd mean, not just for them, but for your team in tomorrow's game?
Look, we want to keep playing. The goal is New York.
Yep.
We want to keep playing. We have a good team. You know, we knocked on the door at the NCAA tournament. You know, we just came up a little bit short. So we went through that. Now it's like, hey, the NIT is great. We haven't seen postseason in a long time. The field for the NIT is unbelievable.
Yep.
We need to go out and compete and play hard and knock off a very good Temple team who's got great wins on their resume. We got to be ready to go. So I'm hoping, you know, at those last four or five games, you know, everybody can come out and really support these guys.
Which then brings me to Temple. You mentioned them. They're older in the starting lineup. They're younger off the bench. What do you see with them?
I love their point guard, Josh Brown. Recruited him hard. Obviously, we lost out, but he was a very, very good player. Tough-nosed kid from St. Anthony's. Played for Bobby Hurley.
Yep.
He's kind of the maestro. He gets everybody involved.
Fifth-year guy,
yep. No question. He'll probably be guarding Tony for sure. And then, you know, Quentin Rose, everybody, you know, he's 6'7". He's long, maybe 6'8", depending on what roster you're looking at. I mean, he's long. He's extremely talented. He can make threes. He can drive it. He can make plays for others. I mean, he's been at a ton of stuff, USA Basketball. I mean, the way he has approached this year, he's a big-time prospect for the next. Shiz Austin, who we also recruited, really, really good player, can score in bunches, shooting the ball pretty well from three. But again, Temple is a very good team. Obi, who I didn't even mention, their pick and pop four man,
yeah,
is at a solid year too. So they got three or four guys out there that can make threes. They got a solid five man who's going to bang you up and rebound and set good screens and roll hard. And then their bench brings a lot of energy, even though it's freshmen and sophomores. They're all, you know, 6'2", 6'3", and 6'6", and up. So it's going to be a great challenge. And obviously, Dump's a great coach. He's been doing it for forever and a day. You know, in my book, he's a Hall of Fame coach. So, you know, it's going to be a great battle tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to the challenge.
One final question, I'll let you go, and that deals with, look, you go through the process and your team finds out on Sunday, obviously they're not in, but they're in this tournament. What about making sure right out of the gate that they are mentally engaged and attack this thing instead of any kind of, oh, geez, too bad we didn't make it?
Yeah, you know, I think we handled that Sunday night. You know, you'd be upset for a little bit now, but know that we're going to a great tournament. And for the last 7 years, we haven't even sat in the film room and watched the selection show. We put ourselves in position. You know, like you said, the process, like we say, the climb. This is part of our climb. We can't miss a step. We can't miss a base. You know, I say my dad always used to say, you can't hit the ball and run the third. So this is what it is for Penn State basketball. We showed that we can compete in the Big Ten now. We're in the top six. We did it, Steve, right? We did it. There's one. We won two games in the Garden and made it to the semi Saturday night. We put ourselves right where we needed to be to make the NCAA tournament. It just didn't happen. So this is the next step in the process for Penn State basketball as we continue to grow and emerge as a national name now. I think people recognize us as a national, that Penn State as a basketball program, which is pretty exciting.
Well, so often in my 36 years, I've seen the NIT set up bigger and bigger things. I mean, I've just with Penn State. So that, I mean, that's where you are in the climb right now, setting up for bigger and better things.
Yeah, and I think this is experience.
Yes.
It's going to help our younger guys. As you know, Shep plays 30-plus minutes, and Shep's going to be gone, and Julian's playing, you know, 12 to 15 minutes. But a lot of these guys are young. We're playing sophomores and freshmen. So it's going to be exciting to watch this team emerge and grow and learn from everything that we've been through this year. So we should be that much better, hopefully heading into tomorrow night's game, but for next season as well.
Patrick, pleasure. See you tomorrow. Appreciate the time very much.
See you, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Patrick Chambers, head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. They get Temple tonight in the Jordan Center beginning at 8 o'clock this evening. Again, we'll be on beginning at 7:30. Interesting watching the rules play out last night. This is how it's going to play out. The rules for the NIT, the experimental rules will be as follows. The lane will be wider, like the NBA. I think when the rules committee takes a look at this in 19, I think it's got a chance to stick. The three-point line is going to be moved out further. I want to say, what is it, 22 feet, an inch and a quarter. So it's about, 16, 17 inches further out than the college line. It's at the international line. I think that's got a chance to stick. The quarters, we'll see. I'm not so sure if they're going to do the quarters or not. I think the offensive rebound to 20 seconds is definitely going to stick. I think because what you know, you get an offensive rebound. Why do you get a fresh 30 seconds? You know, again, you've got 10 seconds to bring the ball over the timeline, and an offensive rebound, you're already over the timeline. And you notice this year in certain out of bounds situations, the clock recycled to 20 seconds. Same theory. I think on an offensive rebound, you'll see the same thing. The quarters, I don't know if it's going to stick or not. I know college basketball, men's college basketball, is the only one that does not play quarters. The NBA, women's basketball, international basketball all play quarters. Now, in the NIT, you'll notice that tonight the media timeouts, which are normally 16, 12, 8, and 4, first stoppage under each, now it's a little bit different. It's going to be in the first quarter, the under 5, then you have the end of the quarter. Then there'll be one at the under 7 in the second quarter, under 3, and then you get to the half. Each coach still has a use it or lose it in the first half, then only 3 timeouts to work with regardless in the second half. And the same story in the second half, under 5 in the third quarter. Then in the fourth quarter, you have an under 7 and an under 3. Also, the timeouts are going to be longer. And this is what you'll see in the NCAA tournament. This is why I've talked about repeatedly that you'll notice in the NCAA tournament, unless there's foul trouble, and foul trouble has to be taken into play, always. But if there's no foul trouble for a coach, you'll notice they'll shorten their bench. I mean, a lot of coaches will play 7 guys during the course of the NCAA tournament. Why? The timeouts are just so much longer. Because when TBS and CBS are literally paying $716 million this year to the NCAA to televise the games, they have to make up for it somewhere, and that is commercials. So every 30-second timeout in the NCAA tournament, whammo, they are going to a commercial right away. During regulated timeouts, now in the NCAA tournament, normal play of 16, 12, 8, and 4, those are 3-minute timeouts. Well, it's the same story in the NIT. The NIT timeouts are all 3-minute timeouts. So coaches, if they are not in foul trouble with their players, will be able to rest their players, right? And not only that, you got the quarter break in the NIT. Now, you don't have that, obviously, in the NCAA tournament. There's one other note in the NCAA tournament, too. If you obviously know men's college basketball, you know that the first timeout called by a coach in the second half of a game, even though it goes in as a 30-second timeout, ends up being a long timeout, again, so TV can get commercials in. Well, the change in the NCAA tournament is that when a coach uses the first timeout of the first half, it is also a long timeout. So those little subtleties, if you have a team that is not in foul trouble, that's what you see. Right? That's why you see benches shorten during the course of the NCAA tournament if a team is not in foul trouble. Those little subtleties that a lot of people don't know, pick up on, don't know about the game, whatever, you know. And I understand that completely. How are you going to know that? Unless somebody sits there and explains it to you. NFL, Jimmy Graham to the Packers, Jordy Nelson cut. Malcolm Butler leaves the New England Patriots, goes to the Tennessee Titans, and is joined there by Deion Lewis. Carlos Hyde is signed with the Cleveland Browns. Interesting. Sammy Watkins officially to the Kansas City Chiefs. Allen Robinson officially to the Bears. Kirk Cousins to the Vikings. Sam Bradford to the Arizona Cardinals. So there was a lot going on in the last 24 hours. And Muhammad Wilkerson also joined Jimmy Graham in joining him with the Green Bay Packers as well. The Steelers, they haven't done anything. Okay. Nothing. All right. The Steelers. They're not going to spend a lot of money in free agency. You know, we all know that. I mean, everybody knows that, but they're not going to. No, I mean, it's the way it is. That is the way it is. Next half hour, Mark Narducci from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Now, Mark is out in Wichita to cover Penn, but he covered Temple a lot this year, so we'll get Mark on to talk about that. and Penn State and Temple tonight. NIT at 8. We're on beginning at 7:30. And our thanks to Matt Leon, who joined us in the second half hour to talk about Penn's matchup with Kansas. Doug Birdsong is going to join us Friday from Detroit to talk about Bucknell and Michigan State. And coming up tomorrow, Jeff Byers from Cleveland on the NCAA Wrestling Championship. So thanks to Patrick Chambers in this half hour. Our show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here in the final half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Matt Leon, who joined us in the second half hour of the show today, previewing Penn and also Kansas, as Penn won the Ivy League. But also we talked about Jake Arrieta as well, the big signing by the Phillies, and what Jake Arrieta can mean to the Phillies, the 3 years, $75 million deal. We talked with Matt about that in the second half hour. You can check it out in the Steve Jones Show podcast. Penn State will take on Temple tonight in the NIT opening round at the Jordan Center at 8 o'clock. We're on News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network beginning at 7:30. And Penn State at basketball coach Patrick Chambers joined us in the last half hour. Coming up in this half hour will be Mark Narducci of the Philadelphia Inquirer to give us a preview of Temple and what they did during the course of the season. Mark, by the way, is out in Wichita covering Penn in the NCAA tournament for the Inquirer, but he covered Temple all season long. We'll be talking to him in just a few moments. We'll go to Cleveland tomorrow and bring in Jeff Byers to preview the NCAA Wrestling Championships as Penn State goes for its seventh title in the last 8 years. It really is a two-team race between Penn State and Ohio State. Where can you find the bonus points to win it? That's going to be the difference in this one, and that's where Jason Nolf comes into play. Nolf apparently is about as ready to go as he possibly can be. He did wear that heavy brace out in East Lansing in the two rounds that he wrestled in. By the way, wrestled well, and then that was it. He shut it down at that point. But we'll talk to Jeff about whether Nolf's wearing the brace or not. And it'll be a key. I mean, can he pick up bonus points? And Bo Nickel and Mark Hall and Nick Nevels and Vincenzo Joseph, Nick Lee. Those are guys that all can pick up bonus points for Penn State. And some guy named, Rutherford. I think it's between Rutherford and Kyle Snyder as to who wins the Hodge again this year. Of course, Zane won it last year. But it's going to come down to bonus points. Can Snyder get bonus points? Can Jordan get bonus points for Ohio State? I mean, that's, you know, and it's a two-team race. I mean, there's really nobody else that's going to be able to sneak in and beat either one. Penn State's either going to be first or second in this thing, and Ohio State's either going to be first or second in this thing. And it gets underway tomorrow in Cleveland, and Jeff Byers will join us from Cleveland coming up tomorrow on the show. And then we will get to Bucknell and Michigan State in Detroit, Little Caesars Arena, brand new arena. And Doug Birdsong is scheduled to join us from Detroit coming up on Friday's show. All right, let's bring in Mark Narducci now, Philadelphia Inquirer. It's been a little while, Mark, since we talked, but it's always great to hear you on the other end. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me. I haven't talked to you in a while since Temple and Penn State played in football.
That sounds about right, Mark. It does. When you look at Temple this year, they went 17-15. What did you like about the team? Let's start with that part.
Well, what I liked about them was they were able to beat some good teams. They have three top 20, 25 wins, Clemson, Auburn, Wichita State. They played Cincinnati as tough as ever at home, then they got blown out on the road. So they played, really, really well. And they're a relatively young team. They had two senior stars, but they have a young team, and they have three freshmen who really started to see some time toward the end of the year.
Right. Now let's flip it to the other side. Where are the holes? Why are they a 17-15 team?
Because they're just so inconsistent, so up and down, and because I don't think they shoot great, and they rarely get easy shots. When they got blown out by Cincinnati, Josh Brown, their point guard and fifth year senior, went to Coach Fran Dunphy and said, we'd like to run a little bit more and try to get easier baskets, and Coach said, okay, go ahead and do it. Just don't turn the ball over. But they haven't been able to do it still. So everything is hard. Everything is in the half court. And if they're not on, then it's going to be a long night for them.
Which then brings the next part up, Mark, because you and I know that one of the areas that will be instituted into the NIT as an experiment is a longer three-point line at the international distance. Could that potentially play a role as to how this game plays out?
I think it can, because I don't think that they are a good three-point shooting team at this distance. So if they bring it back, I certainly don't think it'll help them. But again, they're just so streaky. Sometimes they can do it. The other thing is, Steve, they don't get to the foul line enough. They had the fewest number of free throws of any team in the American Athletic Conference. And again, that's all part of not getting easy points.
They only have 15% of their points this year at the free throw line. Now, Penn State's at 17, and that's not a great number. 15's worse.
Right, and the other thing is they're not the greatest free throw shooting team once they get there anyway. Yeah. So, they have a lot of good athletic guys and all that, but the way college basketball is going.
Right.
If you cannot hit from the perimeter, you're going to be in trouble. And, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. They have a 6'8 sophomore by the name of Quentin Rose.
Yep.
He's got NBA athletic ability. He's just terrific. But his handle is weak, and his outside shooting is suspect. But again, he's the kind of guy, that kind of athletic player is the kind you see in the NBA, but they have more refined skills. If he could ever get a better handle and can get a little more consistent shooting, he could be there as well, but he's the charts athletically.
He had 25 against Wichita State, but then to your point, Mark, he's only hit 5 of his last 28 three-point shots.
Yeah, I don't think he's a confident three-point shooter, and to be honest with you, he's got such explosion that he can take it to the basket. The problem is he doesn't always remember to keep the ball with him, and that's all part of not having that handle. But I think he should not be a main three-point shooter because he doesn't have good form, and I don't think there's a lot of confidence there all the time.
Yeah, which is interesting. But they have other players, especially a couple 6'10 guys, one in particular who can just flat out play, a veteran that has been around the block and plays well for them.
You must be talking about Obi and Echenonia, the senior.
Yep.
But the problem with him is he's a stretch four, Steve. He's got tremendous range. But the problem with him is, and especially this year, he's been just too up and down. When he's not hitting early, it seems to affect him. I mean, he had 19 points in the opening round playoff game, tournament game win over Tulane. And then the next night he got an early foul trouble. I think he ended up with like 3 points. So
yeah.
As he goes, they've gone. But he's been very inconsistent. But again, I think he's got one skill that the NBA would look for, and that being a long-range shooting ability. He's got to get stronger physically. But I think, he may not go directly to the NBA. But I think eventually if he works on his game, he could be. But he was just very inconsistent.
Yeah, because I mean he's got that part, and he has some length to go with him. But the foul trouble, he's been in foul trouble three or more in each of the last seven games.
Yeah, and it seems when he's in the foul trouble, it happens early. Like,
yeah,
he'll get two quick ones early. And it's not like a lot of times it's because he's not strong enough and he doesn't get the right position. He's out of position, and then he'll lean over and foul somebody, you know, something like that. But he's a great young man. He was just named the scholar athlete,
yep,
for basketball in the American Athletic Conference. And, you know, you wish someone like this well. But he's the kind of guy that if he ever got in a role, they could make a long run. In fact, when he was a freshman, he played really well toward the end of the season when they went to the NIT semifinals. And even in the loss to Miami, I think they lost 60-57, if I recall, mm-hmm, he had one of the biggest games ever at Madison Square Garden.
What kind of backcourt combination, Mark, would the veteran Josh Brown, the fifth-year player, and Shiz Alston be?
Well, I think they're very solid. The problem is Josh Brown, you know, tore his Achilles, tried to come back last year, only played five games, and then took a medical redshirt. He hasn't been the same player. He's had some good games, some up-and-down games, but he just hasn't been. Before he got hurt, he was playing as well as he had ever played at Temple. They had just been to the NCAA tournament. He was a big part of it. And I just don't think he's gotten everything back, although he's had some pretty decent games toward the end. But he was the lockdown defensive player. There are now players that are getting by him at times. So he's still a solid player, but I don't see the same player before the injury. As for Shiz Alston, he's a junior guard. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's taken the next step here. He hardly played as a freshman. He came in last year and had a tremendous year, you know, averaging nearly 14 a game. And he, again, has been a little inconsistent. And the problem with him, he's one of the best foul shooters in the country. He doesn't get to the line as much. They're trying to get him to take it to the basket a little bit more, although that really isn't his game. He shoots great off the bounce. But, again, I haven't seen him take that next level this year.
So that's a veteran starting group for the most part. But it's the freshmen. That's where they come in. They're come off the bench. What kind of bench presence have they meant?
Well, they've been great lately. Like, and a lot of them, especially under Fran Dunphy, you don't always get the play right away. And like Nate Pierre-Louis, the 6'4" freshman guard, he didn't play at all the first four games. He played very little the first month of the season. Eventually, turned out to make the all-rookie team, the American Athletic Conference. He's a tremendous defender. Nobody brings more energy than he does. They have a kid also, J.P. Moorman, a 6'7" freshman who I think, again, did not play a whole lot early in the season, started getting more time late in the year, and has really done well. He got hurt against Tulane in that win over Tulane in the AAC first round, and nobody thought he would play the next night, and he came back. He hurt his knee. He came back, so he showed a lot of grit. And then they have another guy, Dre Perry, who probably the most highly talented of all of them. The problem is he has not been a consistent shooter. But, again, athletically, the kid's off the charts, brings a lot of energy. I think these three freshmen, and they have another one named Hamilton, I think they're all going to be a big factor next year for this team.
How about Fran Dunphy? He's been there now for 12 seasons. How do you look at where he is with the program right now?
There's some people we wrote about a little bit the other day. There's some people that were, you know, kind of calling for his head and putting all the blame on the coaches. You know, that always happens. He's led them to seven NCAA tournaments. The year they went to the NIT, they were the first team out when the selection committee not the last team in or whatever. But they were that close to making the NCAA's an ace time. The problem is they've only made once out of the last 5 years, and people look at that. So I don't know. You know, he's got 3 years left on his contract, as we wrote the other day, according to a couple of our sources. And that's a lot if you're thinking of buying somebody out, especially at a school like Temple, which doesn't have a ton of extra funds.
I have to ask you very quickly, just off topic for 1 second. I believe you wrote an article in the Inquirer about Temple looking at a football stadium. Where does that stand right now?
They've sent it to city council, and they've got to get approval by city council, yeah. And that's no easy thing in Philadelphia. And that's going to take months and months. But to get it to that point is a deal. They're very confident. The problem is, Steve, the other night they had a public hearing on it, and the president couldn't go on because he kept getting interrupted by so many people that didn't want it. And the council people have said that the neighbors and all these people, they have to want this to approve it. Now, the one thing is, they're not going to displace anyone from their homes. They own all the land and everything. So I think eventually it is going to get done.
And finally, your thoughts just on the matchup at Penn State and what the thought process is about Penn State down in the city right now.
Well, the thought process is they came very close to making the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, they've had quite a year with a lot of the Philadelphia kids that Coach Chambers has recruited. And, you know, if they can keep them all and not have them try to go to the NBA or anything like that, I think this is going to be a very good team next year.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Appreciate it very much. Just quick, that you cover the entire city. Villanova, Penn, how do you feel about their chances? I mean, obviously Penn's got Kansas, but Villanova, how do you like the bracket starting out in Pittsburgh?
I like Villanova's chances. I think they're a veteran.
Yep.
I think being in the overtime game with Providence in the Big East Final will really help them out. As for Penn, that's actually where I am right now, Steve, talking to you. I'm actually going out there to Wichita.
Okay.
You know, the old David and Goliath scenario, no 16 seed has ever won. They feel, why not? You know, we have nothing to lose. Let's go. So they're loose, and that Ivy League championship win over Harvard was one of the great games you'll ever see.
It was incredible to watch, Mark. And the other part is, quite frankly, they should have been a 14 and not a 16. I mean, that's just me, but that's outside looking in.
I agree. I think that they agree as well. The one thing is, and even Coach Steve Donahue said, they did not play the most ambitious non-league schedule, even though Villanova was one of the teams they played. And he thinks that may have hurt them in that endeavor.
Yeah, what's amazed me about this, just a final comment, then I'll let you go, is that I felt there was so much emphasis put on the first third of the season and not so much on the final two-thirds of the season. That's why I kept hearing full body of work, full body of work. Everybody kept talking about November and December. I mean, I thought the other 2 months counted too.
I think the problem with the NCAA committee is there's still too much inconsistency. Does RPI matter? Doesn't it matter? You know, what are they looking at? Full season, part season, how you're doing, injuries, and there's no year to year, you just don't know what the criteria is going to be.
Mark, pleasure. Enjoy the trip out to Wichita. I know you do a great job of covering it, and we look forward to reading it.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Mark Narducci, Philadelphia Inquirer. We thank you for being on the show today. And we thank Patrick Chambers for being on the show today and Matt Leon. In the second half hour, Matt Leon talked to us not only about Penn, which will take on Kansas in the NCAA tournament, but we also talked to Matt about the signing of Jake Arrieta by the Philadelphia Phillies. It's a big move by the Phillies. I asked Bob Nightingale when we had Bob on the show earlier this week. I said, what does that do, in your opinion, to Philadelphia? Does it make them a legitimate contender for the second wild card? And Bob's answer was, he says he still thinks the Phillies are a year away. But I like what the Phillies have done. Hey, Arrieta is a veteran presence who's been around the block and pitched in the biggest games. Looking at a young staff, I mean, and I think that's going to be important as to what he'll be able to contribute in that realm. I thought the Arrieta signing was a great signing. It's interesting. It's an escalating contract. I think it goes, what, $30 million to $25 to $20. It ends up being 3 years, $75 million. And I think there's the option is on the third year of this contract. But we talked to him about that, and that was in the second half hour of the show. So if you want to check that out in the Steve Jones podcast, you can do that. Patrick Chambers previewing tonight's
game with Temple in the Jordan Center in the opening round of the NIT. It's 8 o'clock tonight, 7:30 the airtime on WKOK, WKOK.com, and also on the Penn State Sports Network this evening. So that is all coming up tonight at the Jordan Center. 8 o'clock will be the tip-off at the Jordan Center tonight. The winner gets Notre Dame, which beat Hampton with relative ease last night in South Bend. And we just had Mark Narducci on from the Philadelphia Inquirer previewing the game. And he's got Penn in Kansas for the Philadelphia Inquirer. So you can check out Mark's work on the Inquirer as well. So that's what today's show is all about. Tomorrow, we're going to lock in on not only college basketball, we're going to lock in on wrestling tomorrow, too. The NCAA Championships get underway tomorrow in Cleveland, and Jeff Byers is going to join us from Cleveland tomorrow to preview the NCAA Wrestling Championships for us. And then Bucknell plays Friday with Michigan State in Detroit, and we're scheduled to have Doug Birdsong on from Detroit as well to preview Bucknell and Michigan State. So we're trying to cover all the bases here along the way with wrestling and basketball, a little bit of baseball mixed in as well. And Bob Nightingale and Matt Leon both talked some Phillies baseball with us this week. So we tried to at least make it a well-rounded show for everybody. And the NCAA Wrestling Championships, of course, coming up starting tomorrow in Cleveland. And Jeff will be on from Cleveland to preview it for us. Looking forward to that. Tonight, Arizona State, Syracuse, NCAA. It's about a 9:10, 9:15 start tonight after the Texas Southern game is over with. And then the tournament, the NCAA tournament, kicks into high gear tomorrow with 16 games being played tomorrow and then 16 games being played on Friday. A lot of fun. But tonight, around here, it's the NIT that takes center stage. Penn State's 11th ever NIT appearance, their first since 2009 when they won it. They will take on Temple tonight at the Jordan Center at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock will be the tip-off, 7:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK, streaming live on WKOK.com, and, of course, on the Penn State Sports Network as well. That is tonight. Looking forward to it at the Bryce Jordan Center. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.